because I hear his voice in my background now. And if I started this, it would get rather lengthy. And so I'm going to break it up and just read you a few verses here. And take this where I would like to go from God's word for you and I to be pondering till next week. And that is, if we turn in the Gospel of Matthew to chapter 17, this comes right at the heels of the Transfiguration. And the thing that I've continued to ponder on in this week, as I prepared this in my study, that what Jesus is doing when he transfigured before them, and I mentioned this as we started, that he was showing the world, those three men, that he was God. And the Father again spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. This is my Son." And it's affected me to be thinking that when I think about Jesus now, when I think of his, I hear the name or used in various different ways in the world system, even where I work and I live, but with people, the thought comes to me that he is God. Yes, he's my Savior, but the reality that this is my Savior who is God. And that's been working in my life. And so I'm going to read to you now out of that verse 14 through 20. "And when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. 'Lord, have mercy on my son,' he said. 'He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him.' Jesus says, 'You unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me.'" That verse was to his disciples from the comment that they could not do it. And they heard this. And it says, Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out. Notice it, that God calls the demon an it. Doesn't even personify it. It's not a he or it's not a she. It's an it. It shows where God places his idea about who Satan is and the demonic activities of Satan. It says, Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy. And he was healed at the moment. Now these disciples heard what Jesus said. And in verse 19, this goes, "Then the disciples came to Jesus in private." I thought that's pretty interesting. They come in private. They just heard what he said. And it's like, we're not going to talk about this out loud. We don't want to be in public. Could we come? Jesus, we ought to ask you a question. Why couldn't we drive it out? And Jesus replied, "Because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Why did this demon not come out? Because you have so little faith. That stirred me in this journey with Jesus and his disciples to say, okay, now what's going on here? And all of a sudden I began to think, I'm going to look at this gospel and see wherever the word faith is used, and it's used 13 times, and don't worry, we're not going to refer to them all today, but we are going to refer to those verses, not in a lengthy time, but in a brief time. But we're going to go through these verses and get something of what Jesus wants us to understand as he is training his disciples to become the first congregation, the first church that he sets in place for eternity. And so as I began to read all these verses, and there's 13 of them, you might want to do that. You know, all you need to do is Google the word where Jesus used the word faith in the Gospel of Matthew, and they'll all come up. And that's amazing things to study. It's an awesome way to go about studying God's word for yourself. And you can ask it questions. all the kinds of questions that you may not understand. Well, who was this and what was that and everything else? And it just takes you right through, helping you to come to great understanding. And there are 13 verses in here that every single one of these speaks specifically about faith and life. Faith and life. Does faith really have application to we one another? And where does it have application? And I'm not getting into these 13 verses this morning, but I want to jump from there into where we're going to go with what would have been the ending of this message. And that is, we have been, for 2 years now, over 2 years, almost basically 2 years, time goes by, when I first brought Share Jesus Without Fear to the congregation. And when I became aware of that ministry and that teaching, it's like something exploded inside of me. It was like, this is what I want you to give to this church. This is what I want you to take to them. And this is what I want you to be discipled in personally, but also be discipled as a congregation. That every one of us can come to understand that God has a purpose for your life day by day by day. And that purpose for your life, whether you're in school, whether you're out of school, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you have a job, whether whatever you are, a mother, a father, husband, wife, single, married, whatever, young adult, every day he has a plan for you, a destiny for your life. And in that plan, as we've looked at some of the amazing things that God has done in our lives, the biggest truth, the most important foundation to that truth is that the plan that he has for you is for you as a believer to come to understand the Holy Spirit is in your life and that the Holy Spirit wants to lead you and guide you. Not in some academic way, not in some theology that you believe that's right, but in a real, intimate, ongoing, day-to-day relationship with him who is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is never referred to as an it. He's a he. The church sometimes refers to it as it, and that's because most likely they don't think about it, but he's a he. To realize who you are right now where you're at. When you say, I'm not good enough, I'm this. If you're a believer in Christ and Jesus has been invited into your life to be the Savior of your life, you have entered into a relationship now with God where day by day you can realize the Holy Spirit wants to lead me. I can hear the leading of the Holy Spirit, and all it is a matter of obeying what I'm led to do. This is the first leg, the first step for this congregation to become a congregation of outreach that is the kind God wants. We can come with programs and things to think up, how do we do outreach? And there are things we will do. On Friday night, they were playing basketball. And some of the guys are still think they're good athletes, where they're playing since they're older. And they probably were showing up, but Jim never lets anybody show them up on the court. But he's got bruises for it and aches and pains. But the thing is that is an outreach. We don't make a big deal about it. There were 16 men there. And so that's going to happen. These things are going to take place. You're going to come up with an idea. That idea of the basketball was Lloyd came to me a few months ago and said, hey, I'd like to do so-and-so. Oh, good, do it. That's an outreach. The Holy Spirit will give us these ideas and give you ideas. Don't push them aside. Come to me with them. And we'll see what and how God wants to work it out. But the point is this. That's a dimension, a part of outreach. But that's not what the outreach is that we're to be getting a hold of first. Even going to a mission field is outreach, but it's not the essence of what he wants you and me to have. He wants you to be able to wake up every morning and to think about this, whoever you are, that God's Holy Spirit is in you. And he has a purpose for you this day. What is the purpose? I don't know. But he does. And if you pay attention closely, you will see that situations will come your way. And you will then go as you obey them and walk through them, and you'll look back and go, yeah, That's right. Now, we'll look at the 13 verses of Scripture that Jesus talks about faith, because my contention is, and my belief, if I may use that word, is that it's our faith issue that holds you back from this in your life. And we're going to look at 13 verses briefly. I could probably turn that into a year and you go, oh, well, here he goes. But I'm not going to do that. But we're going to go through them quickly and briefly, and that you can see that there's these things in your life that your faith affects. And as your faith is in the place where God wants your faith to be, and it can be, is a key to opening up the door for you to walk in obedience in a day-to-day relationship with God. This exploded in my heart, not to just make this church or bring this church or disciple this congregation and this phase of my ministry here. The other things that we've done are all right and good and settled in a place, but this is the one phase where he says, now it's time to grow in this area. Everything's in the right place for it to happen. It's in the right place. Now, it's time to grow. When we hear that word, we want to receive this in the way that the Holy Spirit wants us to receive it. This whole thing was the key that God exploded in me. But it exploded in me because it wasn't new. This goes back to when I was 9 years old. When I was 9 years old, I could see myself. I had this really cool bedroom in the third floor of the house. It was mine. Nobody else could. It was just awesome. And it was kept neat because my mother did it, not me. I have to testify to that. But it was neat and wonderful. And I had this little, those of you who would not know what this is, I had a little brown AM radio. That was even before my radio knew what FM was. Little brown radio that was next to my bed. And somehow, by God's work in my life, Sunday night after Sunday night after Sunday night, I would turn that on and I would listen to the Hour of Decision where Billy Graham preached. Year, week after week, month after month. And something inside of me became alive in the context that God wants for me to understand something about what this man is saying. And over the years, this hope, this dream for us as believers, for me as a believer, is to be able to walk into a life that he taught, that is alive, that is exciting, and that is an adventure. And it's based on a simple principle, a principle that I got a hold of. And I praise God for what he's done to bring this about in this congregation and your willingness to walk with me through this and to learn and to grow and to see this happening. That's why every one of us in this congregation will and needs to, as the right timing is, to go through this. Those of us will be reviewing, and there will those of us who will be the first time, and it will change your life totally as a Christian and as a believer. And I have this book that I think it was my mom, right? That we got this? We bought this book a number of years ago. It goes back to 1999. It was written. It's about the life of Billy Graham up to 1999. And so as I read this book and looked at it, I pulled it off the shelf when I heard he passed away. And he said to the world, I'm not dead. I'm going home. Yes. And this is what he did say. He said, I'm not dead. Don't say I'm dead. I'm alive. I'm just going to where I've been created to be. His message was so simple that I used to think sometimes, how would it have been if he'd have been a pastor in a church? The same message, week after week after week, the beginning and the end. And if you ever did anything close to listening to him preach, some of you are older like myself, that you could be easily affected, but easily connected to him as he preached. He said something. This is a quote. My one purpose in life is to help people find a personal relationship to God. Now think about this, a personal relationship to God, which I believe comes through knowing Christ. That was his whole life. The first sermon the first sermon he ever preached, he had 25 verses for that Sunday morning, or that time he preached. And he could be glad I don't do that. But anyways, he had 25 verses. The thing was, is God gave him a message. That's the message. That's what we've talked about. That's what I speak to you about, that God has a relationship with you, and that he has that relationship that's to be alive and dynamic. And I used to think that that was the evangelist's message. And I came to realize when this was starting to happen, and I've read so many different ministries, ways of evangelism, and I'm not criticizing one bit of them. James Kennedy in Florida put together the one that's touched thousands of people's lives and changed. And what I found is what he did with me is to help me to understand something that was birthed in me back when I was 9 years old. Could you turn this off right now? Because I don't want this part on. I used to think